So I think that I was going to start with some examples of, you know, how we get frazzled and why we feel frazzled. But as I already said, I've felt that way all morning. So I think we all can say, yes, we feel frazzled at times. And maybe you feel frazzled even right now where you sit. I think the root of our frazzleness, if you can use that word that we'll make up today, it comes from our expectations. We have really high expectations of ourselves, and we believe that other people have really high expectations of us. We always feel like we're not doing enough, we could be doing more, we need to keep up with the Joneses, we need to do this and do that, otherwise we don't feel good about ourselves, or we feel like we're letting people down. And when you come into church, then you hear about all the other things you're not doing during the week and all these other expectations that are thrown on you. You're not attending enough. You're not giving enough. You're not praying enough. You're not reading enough. You're not serving enough. And I have one word for you today. Enough. Enough. In Jesus' day, this problem was happening at the same time. People were frazzled. And it's kind of hard to imagine. It's like, well, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have all these different communication tools. Yet they are still frazzled. And what we read about is some of the leaders of the day in Jesus' time, called Sadducees and Pharisees, who were frazzled and who made the people feel frazzled because they put on these expectations of them that were not what Jesus had for them. They were telling them that they had to obey the law, and the law had over 600 different commands in it, and they were telling the people that they must obey every piece of every law, all 613 or however many there are. And what they would do is, instead of maybe encouraging you, saying, oh yeah, good job, you're getting closer, keep doing it, it was, look at me, I am doing really well, you guys all suck, but I'm doing awesome. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs because on the outside they looked really good. They looked really good. I know that that's one of my problems. I look really good, right? That made my day right there. But Jesus said that these Pharisees, they may have looked really good, but on the inside they were whitewashed tombs. They were dead inside. And so Jesus came, and Jesus said, here's another way. Instead of living a frazzled, hectic, crazy, stress-filled life, I have another way. I have a better way. I have the way. How many of you want to know what that way is? Turn in your Bibles with me into Matthew chapter 11. And there are Bibles in the chairs right in front of you. If you want to pull those out, I will tell you the page number is 1466, so you should be able to find that. Matthew chapter 11, page 1466. There should be two or three in each row if you don't have your Bible with you today. 1466 is the page number. And we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was your good pleasure. We're going to stop there and take a look at this. Now, what we need to look at here is context, because what is context? Those of you that have been here before, context is, yes, context is king. When you're looking at scripture, you have to say, okay, what's before it? What's after it? What's the context of the passage? And what happens right before this, in the verses preceding this, is that Jesus is saying that the people that have seen Jesus and seen Jesus do these miracles that he had done throughout his life are actually worse than the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, because they did not see, and if they had seen the miracles that Jesus was doing, Sodom and Gomorrah, the people of those cities, would have turned their lives over to God and repented of their sin. But this evil generation in these cities that he talks about had seen the miracles of God, had seen the miracles of Jesus, had seen Jesus healing the sick, casting out demons. those people that had seen that with their own eyes would not repent, and they could not recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. So when we see here that Matthew is talking about the wise and the learned, Jesus is saying the wise and the learned versus the little children, he's not saying education is bad and that intellectual thought is bad. He's saying that the sophisticated knowledge of God, the learning of the laws, the learning of the rules that the Pharisees had and the Sadducees had spent their whole lives learning about, that those things were meaningless when compared to the fact that Jesus, the Messiah, was right in front of them. It's like one of those situations where you're waiting for someone to come. You know, you've seen it on the sitcoms all the time. They're like, I can't wait for this to happen. And you're so intent looking out the window that you don't realize the person's walked right past you because you miss it. And these intellectual Pharisees and Sadducees were so concerned about following the law and so concerned about looking for the Messiah that when the Messiah came, they didn't recognize him. They missed him. They missed Jesus. And so they didn't realize that they needed God. They didn't need Jesus because they had the rules. They had the law. And so children are dependent upon their parents. And so when we read that these are like little children, we see that the children recognize that they need God. But these Pharisees and Sadducees that were following the law, they didn't really see a need for God because they had the law. They were going to follow the law. They were going to follow the rules. And they were counting on and putting their faith in the rules. They were so concerned with the religion that they missed out on the relationship. They missed out on Jesus being with them because they were so focused on the rules. They were so focused on making sure everyone else knew the rules and making sure that everyone else knew how good they were following the rules. Let's jump back into verse 27. It says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Now, to know in the Greek means an intimate relationship. It means a special relationship. Because no one knows the Father like Jesus, and no one knows Jesus like the Father. That's a relationship that none of us will ever have. But Jesus says, if you know me, me being Jesus, then you can know the Father. I will allow you to know me. I will call you to me. And you can also know the Father. The Son chooses whom he reveals this to, and he chooses those who he calls. And he calls all of us to come to him. He says, here I am, come to me. Verse 28 says, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Isn't that what we all want to hear? When we're stressed out, when we're tired, when we're frazzled, when we're weary of the fight, Jesus says, "Come to me. My yoke is easy." The people that Jesus was talking to were so frazzled by the law, so frazzled by the rules, that they were going to miss the Messiah. And Jesus says, no, I have a new law, a new covenant for you, and that's following me. These people were sinking under the pressure of the law. They were struggling to try to live up to the false arrogance of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they were so stressed out trying to follow all the rules that Jesus comes and says, the rule is to follow me. Follow Jesus. That's the rule. Love God and love your neighbor. That's the new law. He talks about this yoke, and this yoke was the wooden bar across the neck, and it could be on a person or it could be on an ox or other cattle. But it implies this submission or this lordship. And he says, you know what, take this old law, which was called a yoke, that was hard and confusing and just burden people. Take this yoke off and put on my yoke, Jesus says, because my yoke is easy and restful. Versus the law, those rules that you're trying to follow, that's going to get you nowhere. Salvation is found in me, in Jesus Christ, the new law. Jeremy Taylor says this, that Christ's yoke is like feathers to a bird, not loads, but helps to motion. God's law, Jesus' yoke, is there to help us to fly, to help us to become more like Jesus, to help us love one another and to love God. And so he says, take on my yoke. And in the very next passage that we're not going to go to here, if you keep reading, in the next chapter, the religious leaders again completely miss the point here about Jesus being the new law. And they say, you know, I saw Jesus and his disciples, and they were working on the Sabbath. You're breaking the law, Jesus. They missed it again. And so when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, what is our response going to be? Are we going to say, no thanks, I like the rules. I'm going to stay over here with the law. I'm going to stay over here with the rules. It's a lot safer over here. I feel better about myself over here. Or are we going to say, no, you know what? I'm going with Jesus. The believers in Acts struggled with this. They said in Acts chapter 15, they said, so why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? We believe that we are all saved the same way, by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. Even the Christians, the ones that were following Christ, became confused because they grew up learning all the rules in church. They learned all the rules. They learned the law. And so when they became a follower of Jesus, they just assumed that the law came with him and that everyone else better follow the law too. But as we read in Acts and as we read in Jesus' own teaching, the new law is to love God and love your neighbors. Following Jesus is a relationship, and it's a place to find rest. It's a relationship, not a religion. And yeah, there's going to be problems. How many of you have problems today? 2 Corinthians says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Friends, following Jesus gives you freedom. It gives you freedom from the legalism. It gives you freedom from the rules that man tries to put down on you. It gives you freedom from the religion and opens you up for the relationship where you are to love God and love others. And when we come on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, that's when we celebrate the fact that Jesus is offering us that rest. Jesus is here offering this to you today. If you are frazzled, if you are stressed, if you are overworked, underappreciated, tired, just ready to throw your hands up in the air, Jesus says, come to me because I will give you rest. I will give you refuge. I will give you peace. And that sin that tears apart our relationships with each other and puts a barrier between us and God, that sin is taken care of by the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. On Resurrection Sunday, Jesus rose again. therefore conquering death once and for all, and offering us now that eternal rest, the opportunity for us to not only have salvation for eternity, but also to have rest now. Are you frazzled today? Do you crave rest? Over the next 4 weeks, I invite you to come back because we're going to talk about 4 specific things that you can do to put this belief into action. If you say, this is great, Kevin, this is fantastic, I want rest, where do I sign up? Is that what you're saying, hopefully? We'll come back for the next 4 weeks and we'll tell you how. We're going to give you 4 specific things that you can do in your spiritual life, in your life, practical things you can do in order to help find rest and to find that rest that Jesus offers. But the first step in this process of finding rest is to recognize that there is only one person that can give you the rest that you desire. And it's not your spouse. It's not your best friend. It's not a tub of cookie dough ice cream. It is only in Jesus Christ. We need to answer the call of Jesus and say, when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, we need to say, I'm coming, Jesus. I'm coming, and I'm putting faith in the fact that you have promised me rest when I put my faith and my trust in you. Amen? God, I just thank you for the rest that you offer us. God, with everything else going on in our lives, it can be just become so overwhelming. And things are pulling at us from all different directions, God, and I just pray that you would give each person in this room rest. God, fill this place with the power of your Spirit. And don't let a person leave here today without knowing the rest that is found only in following Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.